السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ورب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to cover آيات 198 to 200 of سورة آل عمران today. Let's start the word meanings. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لكن but الذين those who اتقوا they adopted تقوى. تقوى is the root word here, and we learned already that تقوى means God consciousness, the fear of Allah, being conscious of Allah all the time. So اتقوا means they adopted تقوى, or they safeguarded themselves. Okay, or they were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They adopted consciousness of Allah. And we know this is plural because it ends in vowel followed by the alif. Rabbahum, Rabb means Lord. Hum means theirs. Lahum, La means for. Hum, them. Jannatun, gardens. And this is plural for the word Jannah, which means one garden. So Jannatun, gardens, and it can mean paradise as well. Tajri, flow. Min, from. Tahtiha, tahti, underneath. Ha, it. Al-anhar, this is plural for the word Nahar. Nunhara, and that means a river. Al means the, and anhar, rivers. Khalidina, ones who abide eternally. We know this word is plural because it ends in ina. And then fiha, fi, in, ha, it. Nuzulan. Nuzulan means initial hospitality. Min, from, indi, near, or with Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and, ma, whatever. Inda, near, or with Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khayrun is better or is best. Lil abrar, li means for, al, the, and abrar, the righteous, okay, or the pious. Okay, lil abrar, for the ones who are righteous or for the ones with complete faith. Wa, and inna, indeed, min, from, ahli, people. Al-kitabi, of the book. La-man. La means surely. Man, who. Yu-minu, he believes. The you in the beginning means he. So we know it's third person. And iman is the root word. So yu-minu, he believes. Billahi, be in Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and ma, whatever. Unzila, was sent down. Or was revealed. Ilaykum. Ilay means to. Kum, all of you. Wa, and ma, what. Unzila, was sent down or revealed. Ilayhim. Ilay means to, and him, them. Khashi'ina. This comes from the word khushu'. Khushu' means to be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that's when we say that somebody has khushu or pray with khushu, it means to be humble before Allah, to humble yourself. So khashi'ina, aina ending makes this word plural. So khashi'in, ones who are humble. Lillahi, li, to, or for Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La, do not, or sorry, la here means not. Yashtaruna, they barter. Ishtara is the root word, and that means to trade, to either buy or sell, to barter. Yeah, in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yashtaruna, they barter. Be with ayat. Ayat means verses, or ayat. Allahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thamanan, a price. Qalilan, very little. Ula'ika, those. Lahum, la, for hum them. Ajiruhum, ajir means reward or wage. Hum, theirs. Inda, near. Rabbihim, Rabb, Lord or Master, Sustainer. Him, theirs. Inna, indeed. Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sari'u, is most swift, is most quick. Al-Hisab, the reckoning or the account taking. Ya ayyuha, O Alladhina, those who amanu, they believed. We know this is plural, it ends in waw alif. Isbiru, you all have sabr. Sabr means patience, right? So isbiru, you all endure with patience or fortitude. Wa and sabiru, you all urge each other in patience, or outdo each other in patience. Wa and rabitu, you all be united or strengthen each other. Wattaqullaha, wa and ittaqu, you all fear or you all adopt taqwa, Allah consciousness. Allaha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La'allakum, la'alla, so that kum, all of you, tuflihun, you all are successful. Falah is the root word here, and falamha, and that means success. Tu in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So tuflihun, you all are successful. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله. Last time we learned about some of the qualities of the people who reflect on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation of the universe. They remember Allah while standing, sitting, or lying down. They praise Him and they make dua to be saved against the hellfire. They confirm that they heard a caller call to Iman and they believed. So they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their sins, remove from them their evil deeds, and make them die with the righteous people. They also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them the blessings of Jannah that He promised them through His messengers and to save them from the humiliation of the Day of Judgment. And as a result of their invocations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds positively right away. Subhanallah. He tells them that none of their good deeds would be wasted and they would be rewarded fairly, whether they are male or female, that they would be rewarded equally for the same actions. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about how He rewards the Muslims who sacrifice so much in this life for Islam. That includes people who migrate to be able to practice Islam. So they migrate from one place to another, or people who are driven out of their homes, or people who suffer persecution for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His sake, or people who fight in His way, people who are killed while they fight in His way. All these people will have their sins forgiven, and they will be admitted to paradise. Even though the sacrifices they made for Islam were of different levels, they will all be rewarded because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all appreciative. Those who migrate when needed is the easiest sacrifice in His way. Okay, that's the least they did, right? The least of the things people can do to sacrifice in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being killed in the way of Allah is the greatest on the list here. Okay, and it is the greatest. So of course, that has the most reward. And we already covered about the great rewards of the martyrs before. Alhamdulillah, we learned about them in detail. Next, we were reminded that the life of this world is temporary. So we should not be deceived by the turning about of the disbelievers in the land. Their enjoyment and comfort here is temporary, and their abode will be the hellfire. The value of this life, meaning the dunya, is nothing compared to the hereafter. So we shouldn't think that the disbelievers are fine just the way they are, just because we see them with temporary blessings that they enjoy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them everything here. All the rewards for their good deeds are given here. There will be nothing left for them in the hereafter. So that's actually a great loss. And we can understand this better if we go over the hadith again that we studied a few weeks ago. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The likeness of this world in comparison to the hereafter is that of any one of you dipping his finger into the sea. Let him see what he brings forth." And that is this life compared to the whole sea being the hereafter. Subhanallah. So that little bit of water that comes out with your finger is this life. And whatever is left, the whole ocean that's out there, that's the hereafter. So according to a Bukhari and Muslim hadith, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu reports that he once entered the room of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was lying on his side. Umar radiallahu anhu noticed that the coarseness of the straw mat under the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left marks on his side. Upon noticing that, and the meager rations of barley and leaves and the leather bag hanging in the corner, Umar radiallahu anhu's eyes welled with tears. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed and he asked, "What makes you weep, O son of Al-Khattab?" Umar radiallahu anhu said, "O Prophet of Allah, how can I not cry after seeing how the mat has left these marks on your side and how little you have in your food cupboard? The disbelieving kings live surrounded by fruits and springs of water, while you are the messenger of God and his chosen one, and yet this is your condition." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "O Umar, does it not please you that these luxuries are for us in the hereafter and for them in this world? O Ibn Khattab, are you in doubt? These are a people whose pleasures have been expedited in the life of this world." Umar radiallahu anhu asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek forgiveness for him. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that these luxuries are for the believers in the hereafter and for the disbelievers in this world. We must keep that in mind. The worth of this world is nothing compared to the hereafter. And we learn from another hadith, if the world were as worthy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the wing of a mosquito, or as valuable, the disbelievers would not even be given a sip of water. This indicates the insignificance of this worldly life in the sight of Allah. This shows us that it has no value. If it did have any value in Allah's sight, then He would not have allowed a disbeliever to have a sip of water. Forget all the provisions and joyful pleasures. This worldly life is worthless in the sight of Allah, contrary to the hereafter, which is the eternal abode of bliss, and that is prepared only for the believers. So we should realize that the reality of this life, we should realize the reality of this life, and we shouldn't attach ourselves so much to it. Remember that the life of this world is only a passageway. It's not our permanent residence. The benefits of this life are mata'un qaleel. Even if the disbelievers are given all the blessings of this world, they have not achieved anything at all. Because in the end, it is Jahannam for them. Think about the hadith. When a disbeliever is exposed to the hellfire and taken out, and he is asked if he ever enjoyed any comfort, he will say no, that he never experienced any comfort, even for a little bit. And this will be the person who enjoyed a worldly life of luxuries. So imagine how transient this life is. We should never grieve at the condition of the Muslims, even if they're going through tough trials right now. They will be in paradise as soon as this life ends, inshallah. Their rewards will be waiting for them. لَكِنِ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ. But those who fear their Lord, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. For them there shall be gardens beneath which rivers flow. They will live therein forever. So we don't need to feel sorry for people when they struggle in the way of deen, in the way of Allah. The worldly life of comforts is mata'un qaleel for disbelievers. It's temporary. But as for the believers, they will live in the Jannat that Allah has created forever. When we hear this, it becomes easier to bear the difficulties we may be going through patiently. Just for a little bit. Because this life is a very short time. And if we are steadfast and patient, imagine being able to enjoy the blessings of paradise forever. So we should actually raise to get ahead in good deeds, so we can hope for that reward. A life of taqwa is not going to be easy. So we have to be prepared to face problems and bear patiently when others give us a hard time for being Muslim. When we read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there will be eternal blessings and joy in paradise for those who struggle in His way and they remain patient, it should motivate us to be patient and remain steadfast. Because the inhabitants of Jannah will be favored by eternal life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Jannat, okay, the plural form, because there will be a lot of Jannat, not just one garden. Another thing that we should remember is that when people die, they begin their journey of the hereafter right away, right after death. On the Day of Judgment, they will get their final result. They'll find out about it, about the decision that has been made for them of either being admitted to Jannah or being thrown into Jahannam. But the transition period in between, called the Barzakh, is according to a person's result in the hereafter. So if someone is destined to be admitted to Jannah in the hereafter, all the phases of the akhirah, the hereafter, that begin right after that person dies, will be according to that result. So it will all be good. But if someone is to end up in Jahannam as soon as that person dies, all the next phases of the hereafter for them will be according to that. So the life of the barzakh can be compared to the index of a book. Just as the index of a book is according to the book itself, the life of the barzakh is according to a person's result in the hereafter. So for the good doers who adopt taqwa, for them are jannat with rivers flowing underneath, and they will live there forever. Nuzulam min indillah. This will be their welcome from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the appetizers before a meal. That is what this is similar to. So it's just the initial hospitality. What's to come afterwards is even better. All the things we have learned about, everything that we've learned about as the reward, is just the nuzul, the initial hospitality that happens right at the beginning. We don't know what's to come after that. So we may be wondering, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us what comes after that initial hospitality? It's because we cannot comprehend it. We aren't capable of understanding. Imagine 1,000 years ago, if someone were told that they would be given luxury cars, they wouldn't have cared for them. They would have wanted camels instead. This is because humans can only wish for what they can envision. If they don't understand something, they wouldn't even know that they should want those things. So someone 1,000 years ago would not have valued metal cars that people can drive. Nowadays, if someone were asked what they want, they would ask for cars or airplanes, because that's all our intelligence can comprehend. We can't understand things that are still to come, that we're not aware of, because they are beyond our imagination. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only told us what we can understand when it comes to the blessings of Jannah. So He only tells us about the initial hospitality. There's a hadith Qudsi, meaning a hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a statement of Allah, in which He says, I have prepared for my righteous slaves such excellent things as no eye has ever seen, nor an ear has ever heard, nor a human heart can ever think of. Subhanallah. So we can't understand anything beyond the worldly things that we can possibly ask for. The most we can ask for is this whole world, right? That's the most we can ask for. We don't know and we can't understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared. Even if the blessings of the hereafter had been mentioned, we would not have understood them. So He doesn't tell us. He just tells us that gardens with rivers flowing underneath are just nuzul. And different people like different things, right? Everybody has different preferences. So when we read about Jannah, that there will be fruit trees and there will be bananas there, someone who dislikes bananas wouldn't care. Or if someone doesn't like pomegranates, they wouldn't care for those. We also find out about rivers of milk that will be there. Many people don't like milk and they say that they wouldn't care for them anyway. But we have to understand that the things there are not going to be like here. We cannot really compare the blessings of Jannah to the worldly things. And whatever we read about is nuzul anyway. The best is still to come after that. And we don't know how that is going to be. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِلْأَبْرَارِ And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses is the best for the righteous people. We don't know of those things, but they will be excellent. Allahu Akbar. All the things we learn about from the Quran and the Hadith, about how pious people will be welcomed there, about the gardens there, the gatherings there, the beautiful seeds, the trees, the fruits, the clothes there. All these things are just a part of the initial hospitality. Allahu Akbar. All these things are not a part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions when he says, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ. What's with Allah is even better. And we don't know that yet. We don't know what he has in store for the good doers. About Nuzulan, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a beautiful dua that we should make. Rabbi anzilni munzalan mubarakan wa anta khayrum munzilin. When you make this dua, you ask for blessed hospitality wherever you go, wherever you stay or sit, wherever you are. You ask for good hospitality. And it means, my Lord, let me land at a blessed landing place, and you are the best to accommodate us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best accommodator. So that dua is, Rabbi anzilni munzalan mubarakan wa anta khayrum munzilin. We learned earlier that from the people of the book, Laysu Sava, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they're not all the same, they're not all equal. And here again, at the end of the surah, we are reminded about this again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those people, those from the people of the book, okay, the people from among the people of the book, the Ahle Kitab, who have certain characteristics. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. And indeed, there are some among the people of the book. لَمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ. Surely, who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what has been revealed to them before you. This means that they believe in the Quran and Hadith, and they believe in the Torah. خَاشِعِينَ لِلَّهِ. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They humble themselves before Him. لَا يَشْتَرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And they do not sell the revelations, the ayat of Allah, for a petty price. We learned before that many of them, many of the Ahle Kitab, the people of the book, bartered the ayat of Allah for a small price. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they're not all the same. They're not all like that. There are some among them who don't sell the ayat of Allah for the small benefits of this world. They do not barter their faith for those insignificant things. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For them, there will be a reward from their Lord. There are great rewards for them as well, near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Indeed, Allah is very swift in settling all accounts. It will not take Him long at all to do the account taking. He will quickly settle accounts. And we should never think that there were so many people who lived and came before us, and there are so many more still to come. So accounting on the Day of Judgment may take a long time, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swift in account taking. And settling the accounts of the people of the book will be done quickly too. Those of the Ahle Kitab, the people of the book, meaning the Jews and the Christians, those of them who fear Allah and believed in their books, their original books, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was sent. According to explanations, we learn that there were less than 10 people from the Yahud, meaning the Jews of Medina, who accepted Islam. So there were very few. But from the Nasara, meaning the Christians, there were many who accepted Islam. We know that the King Najashi accepted Islam, and many other Christians believed as well. Now we begin the last ayah. Think of it as a summary of everything we have learned in the surah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers. So we should all listen up closely to what's coming up, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all the believers here. Isbiru, be patient. Subhanallah. We learned about two things many times in the surah. Lots of times. It was sabr and taqwa. Sabr means to be patient, and adopting taqwa means to be conscious of Allah all the time. These are the two things we must remember to do. The disbelievers will continue trying to harm you. But you as Muslims have to be patient and adopt taqwa. We learn that we will definitely hear the disbelievers say hurtful things to Muslims, but we must have sabr and taqwa. Sabr or patience would be to be patient when we are afflicted in different ways, to stop ourselves from reacting negatively in those uncomfortable situations. And that is even when someone may feel like yelling or screaming at times due to all the distress, or they feel like complaining. When that person stops themselves from acting that way and controls their emotions, that person is being patient. We learned that we must be patient in order to follow Islam. There is no other option. We will have to bear difficulties. Even when we do ibadah, okay, any type of worship, it involves hard work. So patience is required to be able to do it. So after isbiru, next Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sabiru, excel in patience. During confrontation, this means that people will hurt you. They will create difficulties for you. They will try to hinder you from following the path of Allah. But you must be patient at that time also. You cannot give up at that time and run off. Instead, we have to remain patient. Whether it's in the battlefield, when people try to stop you, or in your homes, when people try to stop you from following the rules of Allah. Be steadfast and continue doing what you have to do with courage and fortitude, even when they try to stop you. There are situations when people have to be patient when going through starvation and illness, or fear that has been created. But rabitu, the next step, means to be patient with what others do. Okay? Whatever way they may treat you, or whatever they say to you, you remain steadfast on deen, and you refrain from reacting negatively. You feel like saying things back to them, or seeking revenge for what they do. But to stop yourself from doing negative things is sabiru. We are not tested in the battlefield when it comes to being patient, but many times we are tested by our families, by our relatives, or our neighbors, people around us. When they say things to hurt our feelings. To remain patient at that time is sabr. That's when we have to tolerate what they say, suppress anger, and remain positive to keep doing what we must do in the way of Allah. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to excel in patience. And the last thing he mentions on the list of these three things, rabitu, you all be united, strengthen each other, hold yourselves ready for battle. Scholars have explained that guarding the borders of Muslim countries is one way of doing this. If the enemy attacks a Muslim country, trying to defend your country is also an example of rabitu. And to be prepared against the enemy is rabitu as well. Something else this means is to guard the nafs. Okay? Meaning the inner self, okay, that asks us to do things sometimes, okay? It wants us to follow our desires and forget about everything else, okay? Do whatever you feel like doing. So to guard the nafs so shaitan does not make us sin is a part of rabitu as well. One example of a rabitu is when you make wudu when you don't feel like doing it, because that requires being constant, continuously doing it, right? So these things are all a part of ribat, strengthening. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Should I tell you about something that erases sins and elevates ranks? It is to make wudu even when it's painful," meaning even when it's difficult. Like when it's cold, you may not feel like making wudu, or you may not feel like getting up, but you do it anyway. At that time, if you get up and make wudu properly, it is a kind of ribat. Many people say that they find it easy to pray, but wudu is difficult for them. A lot of people say this. But imagine the great reward of doing it when it seems difficult. Also, going to the masjid and waiting from one salah to the next is ribat. There are other examples too of ribat, like rushing to do work actively for the cause of Islam without being lazy, maintaining and visiting the masajid, praying regularly 5 times a day. So it means to keep yourself steadfast, to stay firm with doing good deeds when things become difficult. When you tell yourself that I'm not going to stop doing this. So we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we have to remain patient. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There shall come upon the people a time when you will be required to be really patient. So remain steadfast. After that, there will come a time when following Islam will be like holding a burning ember in your hand." So he warned us already that those difficult times will come and it will be very hard to follow Islam. But we have to remain steadfast. Even when it's not convenient, we must do it. The enemy has defeated you. They have hurt you. But still, endure with patience and stick to deen. Wattaqullah, and now taqwa is mentioned, and have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep following the path of Allah and stay away from anything that He does not approve of. Wattaqullah. Taqwa actually means to do what pleases Allah and to stay away from things that he has ordered us to refrain from. That is taqwa. And there are different levels of taqwa. The lowest level is to just do what is fard, whatever is compulsory that we have to do. Okay? And to stay away from the kabira, meaning the greater sins. We learned already that there are very high levels of taqwa too. So we can increase in taqwa as much as we want. We can aim to increase in taqwa. People at the higher ranks also stay away from the saghira, meaning the smaller sins. And they stay away from vain or useless things because they don't want to waste their time. They do more than just the fard when it comes to salah. They pray the nafl and the sunnah as well. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ So that you all may succeed. So if you do these things, you will attain success. The biggest problem with Muslims nowadays, the one problem, is a lack of determination. They're just not determined. They're not able to do anything long term. They start doing something good, any good deed, but they stop because they're so impatient. And then they start doing something else. And then they lose their patience again and leave whatever they had started. They stop doing it and then they start doing something else that's different because they're not patient. So one after the other, they just keep moving on, okay, trying new things, but they don't stick to any of them. They're not steadfast when it comes to deen or when it comes to doing any work for Islam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised against here. Isbiru, sabiru, be patient. No matter how difficult others make things for you. Rabitu, we are told to still be united. Okay, and even with those relatives who cause problems for us when we try to follow Islam, we cannot cut off from them. Okay, we have to keep family ties. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Alhamdulillah, we have completed Surah Ali Imran here. Alhamdulillah. That means that we have completed the Zahrawain, meaning the two noors, the two lights. So Alhamdulillah, you have finished studying the two bright surahs. Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, these two surahs will appear as two clouds, two shades, or two flocks of birds. And they will shade the person who reads them a lot. And they will intercede for him or her. SubhanAllah. So we should keep reading these two surahs often. Go through them a lot. Because these surahs are too important to leave. They are the two illuminated chapters of the Quran. Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. Mabruk to all of you on having completed Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. Alhamdulillah, by the tawfiq of Allah, you have gained knowledge of the peaks of the Quran, as these two surahs have been called, and the two noors, Zahrawain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this ilm blessed for you, grant us all steadfastness, and allow us to implement what we have learned. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.